This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
What up, Houston? What up, H-Town? What up, everybody? As my boy Patrick Creighton's back in the saddle again. He's next to me, Aaron Rabel behind the glass, and the press box is open, checking credentials and letting everybody on in as we get ready for a Tuesday in the big city. Astros hosting the Rockies. They have a mascot named Dinger.
Apparently.
I don't know if it's apparently, but yeah, it's still within question for certain people. But that's something that we can discuss along the way. The Astros' inability to take care of good teams. It wasn't just one game, Pat. It was 3 out of 4. I missed you yesterday, but you're back in tow, so that's good. As we've got plenty of things that we can get into. Number one versus number two tonight. Yeah, I know it's Summer League NBA, but it is on the agenda. Deshaun and news of the day with Deshaun Watson. That's shocking. It never happens coming out of Kirby and NRG Park. But first and foremost, how are we feeling today?
Outside of the fact that I feel like I took baseball bats to the ribs, I feel so much better today. Number one, I hate being sick. I hate being sick even more than I hate missing shows, and I hate missing shows. So I am really happy to be back with you today.
Well, and I was going to say, when you started saying number one, I thought we were going to get another graphic description of what was going on in the world of Patrick Creighton health-wise, because it was one thing to say that you were a little under the weather. When you started to describe in detail what you were experiencing and what the bodily functions were while dealing with being under the weather, Tyler and I were taken a little bit back,
All right.
It was tough to like
get those
bad visuals out of our head.
Hold on, because I got the receipts here, and I know what I
texted. Oh, I do too, sir.
And I said I had the shakes, I had the sweats, I had the chills, and then I mentioned about barfing along.
First of all, you were talking about the fact that it was somewhere in your intestinal fortitude that you were feeling a little bit uneasy.
No, Fran Drescher, I was not.
Then you were talking about the fact that it might be pancreatitis and people might have to talk amongst themselves. You weren't going to be able to join me. Then you were hoping that you could keep down your attempt at
I did hope I could keep down food. That was true.
And if the boiler room was participatory, you might be able to join me tomorrow. These are the things we were talking about. I'm just saying. Talk amongst yourselves.
Do you need a tissue? You sound a little congested.
I'm feeling verklempt. I have coffee and I have water. You can talk amongst yourselves when you need to. It's okay.
But yes, being able to hold down food is lovely. I'd also prefer not to really talk much about it anymore.
Oh, now. Now that you're back on the air, you don't want to talk about it anymore. When you're texting, we got too much detail and TMI on everything that you were experiencing. But good to have you back,
Texas
nonetheless.
Glorious.
Can I also explain this to you guys? And Aaron, maybe you can chime in as well, because I have a real issue with this as well. Anybody that's listened to the show for any period of time knows the fact that I got a little bit overly cleanly with my computer a while back, like 9 months ago, I was reminded. And so I was like doing the disinfectant around pandemic time on my keyboard. And evidently a little moisture somehow triggered something on the keyboard portion of my Mac. All right. So I have a MacBook Air. So I took it in and they told me you have to replace the battery. You have to replace the keyboard. A couple $100 later, I did that. All right. Ever since then, even when it's plugged in and fully charged, the minute that the cord disengages from the charging cord from the computer, within 3 minutes it'll shut off. So I finally, because the Apple stores were all closed, you couldn't get in because of the pandemic for a long period of time. And I wasn't going to sit there and wait in lines once they opened up because the lines were ridiculous. I go in last night after work. I made the appointment. First of all, I was online with a whatever you call the Geek Squad for Apple.
So Apple's geniuses. Genius Bar.
Yeah. Oh, we can help. We went through all these things. They didn't help one bit. So I figured, well, they'll schedule the appointment. They'll make sure I'm good. Schedule it near the house at the mall. I'm okay. No, you got to call. And then they start, well, we were booked today. Really? So last night after work, I go in. I'm sitting there waiting. The guy finally, he goes, so I'm trying to explain everything to him. He goes, yeah, you bought the keyboard and the battery 9 months ago. Yeah, I did. Okay, well, guess what? If you're looking for anything free, this is the exact words of this guy. If you're looking for anything free or we're going to help you at no cost, that ship has sailed. So now I'm already ticked off. I'm like, bro, you're coming at me 100 miles an hour, and we just met. And I'm like, 9 months ago, but how many of those months were wasted away when you weren't open? Then he starts telling me, we should just trade this thing in anyway, and we'll give you a couple $100, and you should just buy a new one. If you know some college kid, you can trick into letting them use your their email or their ID, save another $100 there. For $700, you can get yourself a new computer. I don't need one. I need you to fix the problem. I went to Best Buy, and the guy goes, yeah, all you got to do is take it to Apple, and they misadjusted something when they put the battery in. It's really simple. This dude was like, and he goes, I go, you know what? I know how Apple works. You guys slow stuff down or screw stuff up so that everybody buys new. I'm not that guy. He goes, hey, man, I'm not on commission here, so I'm not into all that. You either want to buy the computer or you don't. I was so livid I walked out, and Lisa's like, are you gonna? And I'm like, oh, yeah. At some point, I'm gonna. I'm contacting Apple, and I'm like, I don't care how high and mighty you guys are. This is some BS. So, I was livid.
I guess because, you know, this is a game that I've had to play before. As soon as when you get somebody in the store and their first thing is, I'm coming at you with the high heat, I need to see a manager.
Yep.
And it's every word of the, I need to see a manager. There is nothing that you are going to say that has changed my mind. Go get me a manager now.
But don't you feel a level of guilt that you first of all, you're offending whoever has talked to you that way. And when you say that they might retaliate, especially if you're at a restaurant or something like that.
If I'm not in a restaurant.
Okay.
All right, ZFG, because you're not spitting in my food.
True.
So if I'm not in a restaurant, it's on. And if I'm walking into something that is supposed to be service-oriented and your service blows, we're going right to management. And I'm also going out onto Twitter, because every time you go out onto Twitter and you put up something about how this company, their customer service is absolute, you know, it's not bull, it's not horse, it's straight up dog.
Yeah.
It's amazing how somebody contacts you in your DM about how they're going to help you to fix it, and they do, which is a great trick with Best Buy, because a lot of times Best Buy, the Geek Squad, in the store, they suck. Then you go onto Twitter, and you get somebody from there, and it's amazing. Oh, no, we can get you in tomorrow. We'll have this.
Oh, you mentioned them on Twitter. You're getting some results.
And all of a sudden, wow, it gets fixed in a hurry. That's how I had to handle my washing machine. So, yeah, if it's a service type thing, especially technology or appliance thing, it's on from the word go. If you're going to run your mouth, dude, I got the biggest mouth in town, and I will run with anybody.
So I had to go back, but the family wanted to go to dinner. So last night we go to dinner, and we order the kids' meals. And the first thing they say at an Italian – first of all, it's not Frankie's Italian Kitchen. All right? We were close to the house. We went to Olive Garden. All right.
That's not Italian food.
Taylor gets to pick because Taylor's getting ready for school. She went through her meet the teacher thing. She was great. So Lisa let Taylor pick. So we're at Olive Garden. All right. So the first thing is Taylor wants pizza. We're out. I'm sorry. You're what? You're Olive Garden. You're out of pizza. Okay. Well, the kids order apple juice. Oh, yeah. We don't have any. We're out. What?
Please tell me you left.
No. So then we're just trying to makeshift because we're still, you know, we got a time schedule for the kids to get back and get to bed and everything like that. So Lisa and I are ordering our stuff, and then I look across the room, and there's a family of four with two kids that have apple juice. Oh, really? Okay, but the food isn't there yet, right? So we're waiting on that. All right, so then the food comes, and at the end of it, the kids like those donut balls or whatever, and they have dipping sauce.
Zeppelins.
I forget what they call them at Olive Garden, but they order those to go so they can eat them before they have to take their baths and get ready for bed. When we get home, I'm trying to look past all of this, and I'm just trying to, you know, enjoy a meal with my family. We get that stuff. We get the kids home. Lisa's like, oh, no. And I know the oh, no immediately. I'm like, what's wrong? She goes, no one put the covers on for the dipping sauces, for the raspberry and the chocolate, for the donut thingy.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And I was like, nope. At that point, I'm calling. At a certain point, I've got to speak to someone. I don't want to be that guy, but she goes, oh yeah, we're not out of apple juice. I go, well, I was told you were. She's like, now we are out of pizza. I'm like, okay. She goes, but we're working on that. I go, but you're Olive Garden. And then the other thing that they told us was, like, midway through the meal, there was no breadsticks. And Lisa loves, and she's like,
the only thing worth getting at exactly. Olive Garden is the breadsticks.
And she and I are having this conversation before the waitress finally gets back. And I go, the two things when everybody thinks Olive Garden, salad, breadsticks. That's it.
Because that's all that's edible.
And you know what I was told by the server? Same server, by the way. She says, oh, we've got a big to-go order, so you guys don't matter right now. So your sit-down crowd doesn't matter so that a takeout order can get breadsticks that by the time you get home are going to be cold anyway. Oh, I was livid.
I need to see manager.
The whole day. So then I got the manager on the phone. And she goes, well, how can I rectify today's experience? I go, that's the thing. You can't. She goes, well, I'd love for you to come back. Is there something I can do? I go, I think you know what you can do. So eventually she's like, can I get your information and we'll get back to you? And then they want to make it right.
You're going
to
give me a $50 gift card, which if you're smart, you're going to give to somebody else as a gift and never eat the trash that they call food ever again.
Oh, no, the salad and breadsticks all world.
But that's it.
Right, but you can do soup, salad, and breadsticks.
Ugh. If I'm going out for Italian, I'm not doing that.
No, I'm going to Frankie's Italian Kitchen if I want Italian food, but if I just feel like eating healthy and doing the salad, I'm fine.
So this was either just divine intervention here, because, of course, this is my first day back after being out on the list.
On the protocol.
In the protocols.
Yeah.
I haven't produced a show since I did the Blitz, and I feel like you just dropped out of nowhere with like, hey, Aaron's back. Let's just do a whole hey man bleep that for the first segment because they're not doing it anymore. Let's do it on our
own. We should because I'm like, I'm seriously, I was like, is this all rolled up into one I should have never gotten out of bed day or what? Like why? Like what I really was expecting and what I'd like more than the damn Olive Garden gift card is for someone at Apple to go, you know what? We screwed up. Let us fix the problem. And I explained to them, I use my laptop every day, so I'm not in a position right now where I could just give you my computer for like a week. They're like, oh, it's longer than that because we got to send it away for repairs right now. We're not doing them in the back. So, yeah, I wouldn't even think about that option. I was like, this dude's killing me right now. And every single person working at the Apple store with their designer kicks and, you know, all of their – they got everything to the hilt. They got every Apple product known to mankind. And they are working at their own pace, and they don't care if you're on a time schedule. I mean, by the time I got home last night, I was livid. Livid. And Lisa was like, well, at least you waited to call till we got out of the restaurant. I'm like, yeah, because she's got to hang up that everybody spits in your food if you at a restaurant.
Oh, absolutely. I've worked in restaurants. People spit in your food.
See, I didn't need to hear
that. They do other things to your food, too. And if the lettuce falls on the floor, they'll just pick it back up and put it back in the bowl. If the bread falls on the floor, it just goes right back on there. Dude, I've worked in places where and places where the food was really good. But you go back in the kitchen, I didn't eat in restaurants for like 4 years after I got out of working in restaurants when I was a kid. Because
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for dispelling all that for me.
We'll set this up before we go to break. If you want to, I've got the button here.
Yeah.
You just go ahead and fire away and I'll...
You want me to say it so that you
not
can...
Not the real word. I've got the button here for that part, but...
Also, well, there's two different places that I would really, from the bottom of my heart, like to say, hey, man, that.
There you go.
Take that.
Feel better?
Feel a little better.
I also hope you went online.
I hope you feel better, by the way.
And did the whole thing on Twitter about, hey, Olive Garden, let me tell you why you suck.
No, not yet, because they offered a gift card. The manager was very nice.
That's right. You'll get a second one.
I do know that, especially with doing what we do, if we mention anybody on Twitter, the DM that you get immediately, like when I went through a year of hell with DirecTV, and the minute I put it online, everything seemed to get better quickly.
Dude, they respond in 8 minutes or less.
DirecTV is the one company that the more you bitch, the more you get, and it doesn't matter if you bitch for year after year after year, you get eventually, but it sometimes takes some work.
When I had DirecTV, I was constantly bitching because their customer service is terrible, and I got the Sunday ticket for free like four years in a row.
Yes.
Until finally it was just, you know what? Your service is so freaking bad. I'm just cutting the cord completely and went straight internet.
But by the way, I still question whether any of the operators that were working on my calls for DirecTV were really named John. Just leaving it right there where it lies. All right, lots more to get to in the show. Just getting it started. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call that number, text that number. Hit us on Twitch and Twitter. We're here for you. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Hello.
A new era is about to begin.
Change is coming.
Monday, August 16th, we're writing the next chapter in Houston sports radio history.
Change coming. This is what you call a paradigm shift.
New voices, new shows. Be there Monday, August 16th for this new chapter on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Summer is here, and ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 are hitting the road on a summer circuit through the greater Houston area. Visit our events and register to win a family getaway to Lafayette, the heart of Louisiana's Cajun and Creole country. Listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank.
Hey, there's a drop, by the way, that says Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton. We just kind of kicked the one with Tyler to the curb because it was Joel and Silent Tyler yesterday, and he got hammered for it. Not the case today. It's great to have Aaron Rabel back in the fold and feeling better. We've got Patrick Creighton and myself, and it's going to be that this way the rest of the week. So we're going to have some fun along the way. We got to do some catching up because, Pat, you and I were not together yesterday so that I could kind of get in here and get your thoughts as well on a lot of things to do with our favorite baseball team, the Houston Astros, because you were trying to put my mind at ease on Thursday. It was just one game. It was just rest. It was going to be okay. And then lo and behold, the whole rest of the series kind of went that way. They did what they've been doing all year, yet again to a sub-500 team. They lost 3 of 4, and now those objects in your rearview mirror are much closer than they appear to be. The A's only 2 games back in the loss column, and you got some splaining to do.
I don't know that I have splaining because I'm still not worried. Like I said, the one thing I'm worried about is the starting pitching. I'm worried about innings creeping up. I'm worried about guys being less effective as they're getting up into the higher innings. You know, you talked about Jake Odorizzi. Well, Jake Odorizzi is going to go tonight against John Gray, who's the Rockies' best pitcher and probably the only pitcher they have that's worth a damn. So you're going to get their best tonight. But, you know, one game they lost because, again, they can't execute small ball in extra innings. And I'm not even getting so far as Jose Altuve's bunt that he just pushed a little bit too hard up the third base line because he had to do that with 2 outs. When you start an inning with a guy on second base with nobody out, that runner should score 100% of the time. All you need to do, ground ball to first, ground ball to second. That's a run. Going back to last year with the implementation of this stupid-ass rule, the Astros continually find ways to not execute small ball. And let's also be fair, Miguel Sano made a phenomenal play on that Altuve bunt that I don't think he could make more than 3 out of 10. He happened to grab it clean, yeah. Anticipate it, grab it clean, make a perfect throw. For a guy who doesn't play that much third base anymore and who's bigger than I am, that's a really tough play to make. And I don't think he makes that but 3 out of 10 times. I think he got a little lucky there, too. Because Altuve doesn't get down the line as fast as he used to, still gets down the line pretty fast. But their inability to just score the runner from second and then worry about everything else. And then in Sunday's game, well, Lance McCullers, who was coming off a gem, well, he doesn't have it. And they bring in Phil Maton. Maton doesn't have it. And next thing you know, you get 7 runs on the board in the first 5.5 innings, and you're behind the eight ball. You're not going to win a lot of games giving up 7 runs. In fact, if you look at it from the other aspect, the Astros scored 5 runs. They probably win 80% of the time when they score 5 runs.
So here's my issue, though, Pat. If you watched baseball at all last night, or at least checked in on the four-letter network that had White Sox Twins, the White Sox, who you are neck and neck with, who you are fighting for best record in the American League with, along with the Rays, did to the Twins last night what you were supposed to do.
Sure did.
Same kind of lineup, same kind of pitching, and they did what you weren't able to do. So I ask you, is the starting pitching starting to concern you more and more with every one of these starts, in which even for me, when I said, hey, look, if the playoffs started a few days ago, Lance McCullers would be my number one. Now I'm starting to even revisit that because of the weekend series and what happened in the long ball festival that Jake Odorizzi started that Zach Greinke couldn't escape from, that Lance McCullers jumped on the train with. The starting pitching starting to concern me more and more, and so is the offense. I get it, but whether you call it offense or injuries, what concerns you more, the offense and the injuries or the starting pitching?
I'm not worried about the offense. You get seven guys in the lineup in a row with an OPS over 800. No other team in baseball has that. I'm not worried about the offense. Offenses will go through, you know, they'll go through a couple of games where they don't score, and then they'll go through games where, you know, they're scoring like football teams. So I'm not worried about the Astros and the offense. I am somewhat concerned about the starting pitching and guys' arms possibly getting tired. I am somewhat concerned that, you know, we've seen this where guys pitch fine, then all of a sudden they hit a couple of games where they struggle, and then, wow, they're on the injured list. So Odorizzi has not pitched well his last few starts.
Right.
You're going to pitch in your park, but again, the Astros, a Minute Maid is a hitter's ballpark. And if you can keep the ball away from left field and direct your fly balls to center, generally you can still have success as a fly ball pitcher. Get them to hit it to center. Don't give them the short wall and left. Odorizzi's had trouble with his breaking ball being, you know, as flat as his table. So that's going to be, and how long does it take him to get through? I'm worried about, you know, some of the other pitchers as far as their workloads, because some of these guys are creeping up on max number of innings pitched or getting close to career highs in innings pitched. I'm pretty okay with the idea. All right, maybe this is a one-off for Lance McCullers, who had been pitching really well, won seven games on the road already this year. McCullers has been really good this year. I'll say, okay, this is just an aberration start. Greinke, for the most part, has been good. But when he's not good, he's four innings at max. So it's night and day with him.
You're talking about Minute Maid, right? Well, wasn't it just a year ago that Lance McCullers was lights out at home but couldn't pitch on the road? Now he's got seven road wins and suddenly he can't win at home? I mean, at some point, they got to start figuring some stuff out. You mentioned Odorizzi. Well, you know what? He's been working on trying to fix some things. How long before Mr. Goodwrench figures that out, and how long can we wait while the margin for error becomes slimmer and slimmer with the A's approaching your rear end?
I'm not as worried about where we're going to be in 2 months. This is a team that has shown all throughout this season, no matter how many times you think things are going sideways, you think they're on the deck, they get up. And then they get up and they go on a streak. So for as much as they've played .500, a little under .500 over the last couple of weeks, the Astros have shown every time they go through one of these, they come back with a big streak.
I am your voice of reason over and over again, because here's the next little wrinkle I'll throw at you then. Okay, you're not worried about the offense. Hopefully, I think you believe the starting pitching is going to figure it out. You have the third easiest schedule the rest of the way, but guess what? Now here comes the injury bug, and it's still biting because Yuli's still out. Bregman's not back. There are issues, again, to be dealt with that cause you concern. Now, a team that only had one concern, which was fixing the bullpen before the trade deadline, suddenly has far more worries than they did after they fixed the bullpen.
And aren't you glad that you're going through all of this while you're going through an easy stretch of the schedule and not against playoff teams?
I would be if you were kicking their ass, but you're not. Every time you play a team like this, you play to the level and worse. You rest guys, and you take it in the shorts.
Well, at some point, guys have to rest. Nobody's playing 162 games anymore.
Load management is an NBA thing, Pat. It doesn't have to be a Major League Baseball thing.
It's always been a baseball thing. I mean, the idea of guys playing north of 150 games,
they're not going up and down the court busting their ass against Walton and Lanier every night. They can coast and sit in the dugout a lot.
They also don't get two games off in between games. You play every night.
You're talking about a team that had multiple games off on this road trip alone.
No, they had a day off, Monday, and they had a day off the previous Monday.
They had one in San Francisco.
All right, Thursday.
And they had one after the Seattle series.
And how many games did they play in a row before that?
So they had two out of their last 10.
But how many games did they play in
a row
before that?
I don't care. I'm talking about what happened here. Two out of their last 10, and then they needed rest. Stop it,
man. That's what happens when you play guys 16 games in a row. They need a day off.
Creighton, you jinxed it, but I told you this, and it's going to keep coming back to you now, because now you're still not worried. And you should be.
No, why would I be worried?
There should be a level of concern, because I just told you, whether it's the injuries, the starting pitching, or the offense, there should be some level of concern.
All right, well, you mentioned Alex Bregman, right?
Yeah.
Bregman is no longer with Sugar Land. He is with the Astros.
I saw that.
He is here. All right, the chances of him being, he might get activated before tonight's game. If he's here, he's close, which means either you're talking tonight or you're talking, say, Thursday. right? So Bregman is literally on the cusp of being activated. Yuli was put on the 10-day just mainly because they had to make roster adjustments. They didn't have enough guys who could play the infield, so you had Martin Maldonado playing first base. He's only on the 10-day. They don't think he's going to be longer than the 10 days. So that means by this time next week, Yuli's back. Outside of, you know, Michael Brantley taking the shot to the head, how does he feel? We'll find out if he's in the lineup today. If he's in the lineup today, then obviously you're not really worried about it. If he takes another day off and it's only going to be one day, I'm sure Dusty will address it before the game today.
Are you?
Somebody better ask.
Okay. Will they?
If somebody does, somebody's going to ask.
This is Houston. This isn't New York. This isn't, you know how this works. There's too many buddy ball situations in the media. They might not ask.
You know what? We got a little caveat to the New York media, though, because when the Yankees were busy running their mouths about the Astros and cheating, do you know how many Yankees reporters asked the Yankees about A, they're also being fined in 2017, or B, the letter? Do you know how many Yankees reporters asked about that? The answer was zero. They all went freaking soft. Every single one of them. So can't give the New York media their big bad reputation, because it turns out they can be just as big cowards as everybody else. But okay. I feel good. I got Bregman coming back soon. I got Yuli coming back soon. My biggest concern is, can the starting pitching get it straightened out, or are we going down a slide where guys' arms are running out of gas? And out of that, considering this is something I heard you talk about yesterday, they've got to get Christian Javier stretched out again.
I agree.
If you're going to pitch him 2 innings and then he can't pitch for 2 more days, stretch him back out, get him back in the rotation. If you got to go to a 6-man rotation, go to a 6-man rotation to slow everybody's innings down. So what?
Well, you enhance the bullpen, so maybe the help lies in Javier, at least short term, because like you said, with Urquidy and multiple injuries to the same shoulder where it keeps reoccurring, he'll come back, he'll look strong, and it'll happen again.
And you know what? If Odorizzi goes out and gets tagged again today,
oh, he's gotta
you've
go.
Got to take
gotta,
him out of
he
the
has
rotation
to be out of the, I agree.
Until you and
there's
work
no
with
more
him on
until.
The side.
No.
He's
got to no,
get worked on
no,
the side.
No.
And then you've got to figure out what's wrong
no
with him
more
and get him right.
No more untils. No more experiments. Right now, you need to play your best baseball with your best team every single night. I'm done with all that. If you are a middle-of-the-road team, fine, but you're not, and you're chasing too many higher aspirations, so it's time to stop all that crap. We got more to get to. I want to talk to you guys about Brian McTaggart and some of the insinuations he made on Twitter and what you guys think about that. All that coming up in the second half hour of hour number one. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about Frankie's Italian Kitchen. You want to avoid the Olive Garden situations? You want to get the best Italian food anywhere in Houston? Well, you need to get to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. It says it in the name. It used to be a pizza place, but then they started doing so much more, and it was all fresh, made-from-scratch Italian food that they had to get the whole menu out there. I basically sampled and tried everything on the menu, and I'm telling you right now, it is authentic, it is fresh, and it is delicious in a family environment where you can bring the whole family and feel comfortable. The prices are affordable. You get full up, filled to the gills with great food, and you leave feeling satisfied in every step of the way. Chris Smith's not only the owner, he makes the food. He makes sure everything's fresh. The produce, the cheese is coming from Wisconsin. The Italian sausage is coming from College Station. And everything that they do makes sure that it's fresh, it's appetizing, and you get your money's worth. Check them out today at frankiesitaliankitchentx.com. Better yet, if you are in the Fulshear, West Katy, Richmond area and you want that great Italian food, search them out and be there. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 9. Sundays, 12 noon to 8 p.m. Dine-in, takeout, and catering. They are fantastic. Take my word for it. Check them out. Tell them I sent you by. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
I'm sick and tired of all of y'all been looking. I'm your OG. My time is shining like the bar that drop on New Year's Eve.
SD countdown to the D, she be like
5, 4, 3. Now drop down.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5.
Real.
Let's go.
Fun. Sports. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
Well, our boy, at least your boy, not Santa, in a tweet 5 minutes ago, said that in doing some scouting that there was an interview in which Dusty said Bregman is a week to 10 days away. That better not be the case, because we were told sometime on the homestand. Last time I checked, the homestand is two games left in it. So, and like you said, I noticed the same thing. Hoodie on in the dugout over the weekend, I would assume that meant that he was close, and I was looking at tonight being a perfect opportunity to get him back in the lineup, get some at-bats, and of course play at home before they have to go back out onto the road. Maybe that's not the case. I don't know. I'll hold out hope. On top of that, I wanted to get your opinion on this. And it was a little bit of an insinuation within some tweets, but it goes back to a discussion you and I had over a week ago near the at the trade deadline, when one of the last moves made was trading Miles Straw. Brian McTaggart was in the middle of a discussion on his Twitter in which people were talking about the fact that management and the front office really felt like Chaz McCormick needed more at-bats, and he was a guy that they were very impressed with. It was insinuated that Dusty Baker was not having it, that he was comfortable with Miles Straw, and he continued to put Miles Straw in the lineup, when evidently, whether there's no communication at all, or the message wasn't getting through, or they weren't seeing what they needed to see, they combated the fact that Chaz wasn't getting the at-bats they thought that they needed by trading Miles Straw. Is there any kind of level of concern over that?
We did talk about this, and you know who would be the center fielder,
because
you were asking, like, they can't be, like, you were expecting there would be another corresponding move.
Correct. Now this makes more sense to explain why it was inexplainable why there wasn't another move made.
So they decided, hey, the front office was figuring, all right, we're going to trade Miles Straw, and Chaz is going to ascend and become kind of the new everyday center fielder. We're going to bring up Jake Myers. He's going to, you know, kind of play what Chaz's role was, which is fourth outfielder, move him around where you need to, give Chaz a spell here, etc. And Dusty didn't go with it. He started putting Kyle Tucker in center field. And Kyle Tucker in center field seems more like a sabermetric type move than a Dusty type move. So I do find it interesting, the idea of, well, it's Dusty who's not playing Chaz and is playing Kyle Tucker in center, when that seems more like a sabermetrics, advanced metrics type of move. Mm-hmm. You know, go with the guy with the bigger bat and you live with the defensive, inefficiencies because, you know, greater, you know, expected runs added. Which you start getting into all these advanced stats that 95% of people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about, so I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole on you.
Please don't. Yeah.
But that's essentially what it looks like, is it looks like Dusty was being told, hey, let's see what Kyle Tucker can do in center field.
Dusty, well, he was definitely told to play Chaz McCormick more, and he wasn't doing
it. Well, that's why this thing's weird, because Dusty, NL guy, you know, defense and center, to now be the guy who's going to go, no, I'm going to go offense in center and I'll live with the defense. That's a really big personality shift that had never before been expressed by Dusty. You've never seen Dusty take a defensive primary position and say, I'm going to sacrifice defense to go with, you know, a better offensive player. You didn't have to worry about that with George, because George was a great defender and a big offense. But now we saw Miles Straw, because Miles Straw, a little bit better defensively than Chaz McCormick,
right,
did great out that way, and you can go to all the advanced sites if you really want to see it. But Miles Straw, a guy who was primarily a center fielder versus Chaz, who was primarily a corner outfielder, whose speed has now been, okay, we can get him into center because he's got the speed to go.
But by the
fetch.
Way, it also lends itself in a lot of ways to a couple of different things that you notice, which is, one, since they made the trade, Miles Straw's done nothing for the Indians. Also, it starts grinding your gears a little bit, going, is there going to be a disconnect? Is there going to be, because we always knew Dusty wasn't an A.J. Hinch type analytics guy. But, you know, he was old school. But, you know, he was having this opportunity presented to him. He said he thought he was done coaching. He got a really nice contract. They actually extended him. He did a good job last year. But you knew at a certain point there was going to be some heads butted over something. And here it is. It makes perfect sense, because it was a conversation you and I were having really vehemently leading up to the deadline, and the actual seconds before the deadline, and me anticipating there had to be another move. Well, now there's a reason why there wasn't another move, because this is their way of combating the old school guy that didn't want to do the analytic way that they wanted it done. So they were like, well, guess what? I got a different way I can do this then.
You know, we always say there's no petty like sports petty. Is this, you know, are we going along the lines of, is this Dusty, you know, being petty back to a front office that was petty to Dusty? Hey, you keep playing Miles Straw. Fine, we're going to get rid of him on you. So you play the guy we want. And he goes, nah, you know what? I'll go analytics one step further. I'll put Kyle Tucker in center. Now we'll see how you like it. Clearly, they're a better defensive team if Chaz or Jake Myers is in center. And they're a better defensive team by a lot. And that's really the alignment. And I don't know what the dynamic is there. They better get over it, because you need to have a guy in center field, especially when you're talking about either Michael Brantley or Yordan Alvarez or Aledmys Diaz playing left field on the overwhelming amount of occasions. Your center fielder better be able to go fetch. And he better have a big enough arm.
Well, and
to
we
hit
also talked
deep.
About the bar being unfairly set very high by getting the ultimate package of offense and defense in an outfielder like George Springer for average, for power, and also to be able to do things he could do defensively. As you and I talked about on multiple occasions, there's very few center fielders in the league that can live up to that. But maybe there's a false expectation. But what this also leads me to believe is that we said all along when James Click took this job, as a general manager, at a certain point, you want a manager that is your guy. And he got the job after Dusty was in place, so he definitely didn't get his guy. Now, that's why, again, as we talk about how important this season is, this could be it for Dusty, too. And Dusty's one thing missing from his resume is a World Series championship. And the fact that you can get him to the point where, hey, regardless if it's my way or the highway, regardless of how this ends going into next season with Carlos Correa and all the other things, and being able to shut up all the critics once and for all, it's even more vitally important. They just get the job done this year and then worry about going forward. But essentially, it seems like there's a little trouble in paradise when if there's even just a little insinuation that it isn't the harmony that you thought between Click and Dusty, front office, and the clubhouse.
Yeah, I don't know if you realized how big a point you just made with Dusty wasn't Click's guy. And usually when a guy is hired as a general manager, a lot of times they inherit somebody. Mm-hmm. And the owner will not allow them to change it the first year. You got to try. You got to work it out. Well, now it's year two. And this is usually the time where a general manager is trying to put his stamp on the team. We're going to do it my way. And if there's any pushback from Dusty on anything, this is the year where that stuff is going to start to leak out. So convenient and interesting that this is kind of the leak that comes out now as we're getting into the end of the second year. You know, does James Click want to replace Dusty, who, while being the second oldest manager in baseball, is absolutely beloved everywhere he's been and is a guy who's probably going to the Hall of Fame as a manager?
Yeah. But again, it's the one thing escaping him.
With a young guy who's going to be more of an analytical partner and, you know, more willing to do what the front office tells him. Because after this season, that would be right about the timeline. And that goes for every sport, NFL, NBA, baseball. When you get a new guy and he's got a manager, it doesn't matter how successful that manager is or that head coach is, there comes a point in time the GM wants his own dude.
I mean, this is all honestly just one of the minor storylines out of the damn movie Moneyball. Like, that was maybe McTaggart just watching it too much. Was he watching Moneyball on a rerun?
Well, didn't the Astros already do Moneyball once?
Well,
wasn't that why Bo Porter got fired?
That was the argument. And, like, from that movie and from what I've understood from reading and talking to a couple people is that the manufactured heat between Art Howe and Billy Beane was actually not there.
Oh, it was there. There was heat. It was there. Now, they made Art Howe.
Art Howe despises how he's portrayed in the movie.
They made Art Howe out to be a bumble.
Yeah, he hates that.
Well, what I've talked to a guy who worked in the A's broadcast said, when they started doing this, Art was hesitant, but at the same time, he came back and said, you know what? It's looking like it's actually starting to work. I'm buying it. And he went all in, and he understood. Now, was there still an argument of, hey, you need to be playing this guy versus this guy? Yes. Every manager and every GM is going to have that problem because the GM doesn't know how to coach guys on the field, and the manager doesn't look deep enough into the stats to understand what the GM is doing with them. But this is the exact same storyline that was theirs. you're going to play Pena? No, I'm not. Or you're going to play Scott Hatterberg at first and not Carlos Pena, who's a rookie of the year and is going to be an all-star. No, I'm going to play Pena because, you know, at the end of this year, I don't have a contract and maybe I step away and maybe I need to go find a new job somewhere else.
So they traded Pena.
But we knew this was coming, right? We knew this was coming all along because Dusty's not an analytics guy. He's not a money ball guy.
He's not, but at the same time, when he first, one of his first times meeting with the media when they hired him, they said, you know, how are you going to handle, you know, Astros have been so analytic heavy. And he said, you guys don't understand. Baseball's all analytics. He goes, just because it comes from a computer now, we just had note cards. When I first started managing, all we did was have note cards in the damn thing, and that's what we went on. Now it's a printout.
But Aaron, okay, he thought he was riding off into the sunset to sit on the deck and watch the flowers grow, and they threw millions at him at that press conference. You don't think he's going to say whatever is the right thing to say at that time? At overtime is when you're going to tell what really is the thought process of a manager, and it seems like this at least makes sense for why they didn't go out and have another move made to get another center fielder, because the analytics department feels like Chaz McCormick's that guy.
Art imitates life, imitates art. The reason why that storyline is so prevalent, because that is every baseball team for 130 years. All right, you watched Jackie Robinson, you watched 42, you know they had the same thing. I'm not going to play Jackie Robinson. Yeah, you are. I'll get another manager. Like, they're going to have those, and that happens on every team. To be fair to Art Howe, they really portrayed him as a bumbling idiot in that movie, and that wasn't fair. Now, he wasn't a great manager, and his worst managerial time was when he was the Mets. And I understand that because at the time, the Mets front office was the stupidest group of people in the world. But while he may not have been a great manager, he was not a bumbling idiot, never was.
Did I miss something? Dusty Baker has never won a World Series as a manager, correct?
No.
That's what I thought. Someone said he did. No, he didn't.
No, one as a player with the Dodgers.
As a player, yeah, that's different. I'm talking about as a manager for his Hall of Fame career.
No, never won a World Series as a manager.
Because let's be honest, if he gets in, it's going to be as a manager. Is that fair? He's not going to get in as a player.
No, but he'll get in as a manager.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're talking about. All right, just clearing that up. All right, final segment of the first hour comes up next. Plenty more to get to. Good spirited discussion already. Pat making up for lost time, getting in for what he didn't get in yesterday, and it's been fun. So that's what we're here to do. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Monday, August 16th, we're writing the next chapter in Houston sports radio history.
You ready?
On the independent voice for Houston sports, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Let's do it.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Patrick Creighton.
A-Rod on the ones and twos with the what? From the big man upstairs doing the voiceovers. As we're back on the Press Box, it is Aaron, Pat, and myself talking about a whole lot of things. Everybody's giving us their latest quotes and information on Alex Bregman. If he truly is still a little ways away, if it is 10 days, there's even more level for concern, fellas. We were told the last time after a little issue with Sugarland that it was nothing. The next day he was running fine. He was ready to go. It was going to be close. He was going to be back on the homestand. Well, here we go again. And this is the kind of scenarios that you keep getting into when you know you have a lingering issue, a lingering injury that becomes something to worry about. You're not worried. I am. This is why, Patrick. This is why. Now, wait. Yuli's neck, which is only supposed to be 10 days retroactive. Now I'm starting to worry about if I'm 9 days in, if I'm not going to hear, he needs a little more time. Time is ticking, sir. And like I said, if it was a 6-game lead, I'd feel a whole lot differently.
The stuff with Bregman where, you know, Dusty came out and said today that he's not going to be activated today and may not be activated for another 10 days.
Well, why did you bring him up? And I don't mean like officially bring him up, but why did you know, bring him to Minute Maid Park? Like the coaches at Sugarland couldn't tell you whatever the coaches at Minute Maid Park could tell you? That doesn't make any sense. So you're essentially, you've gotten some ABs now that he won't get. Or, I mean, I guess it's not that far a drive to Sugarland, but the idea being, well, you brought him up to Minute Maid Park to say, okay, you're 10 days away. I don't know that necessarily makes a lot of sense. You probably could have sent somebody, you know, 30 minutes down the road to Sugarland to just look at him and be done. But if Bregman's going to miss 10 more days, if this is them saying, hey, you know what, we're going to be a little bit more cautious with the fact that you had a quad for 2 months and then you had a hammy, and we want to take an extra week to make sure you're not going to re-pull something, I'm fine with that, because most important is to have Alex Bregman healthy going into September and into the playoffs. Alexis Diaz, he's got a legit major league stick. So if the only guy I have to replace in the lineup for another, say, 10 days or so is Bregman, and I'm doing it with Alexis, all right, I can live with that. Yuli is probably, what, got a couple of days left on his stint? It was retroactive to
towards
last
the
week.
End of this week. He's supposed to be back. But like I said, that's the problem. Now, instead of just finding a different spot for Aledmys Diaz because Bregman's back, now the corners of your infield are big question marks, as well as your starting pitching.
I think that the bigger issue is
here we go, which you're not worried again.
I got 2 months of baseball left.
A week
left.
From now, if they're even with the A's, or God forbid worse, will you be somewhat concerned?
No.
Oh, my God, Patrick.
You know what? I'll be worried in the middle of September. If the starting pitching isn't right and they're neck and neck with the A's, and it's a matter of, hey, whichever team doesn't get in there is probably going to be out, because we don't know what where the second wild card is going to be, or maybe they're going to be the second wild card. I am not going to panic over this team, because this team continues to show me time and time again, no matter how bad things get, they right the ship. You go back to last season, after the trade deadline, they didn't make a move. They fell into a rut. They wind up finishing 2 games under. They got to play the A's. The A's kicked their ass all year long. What happened? They beat the snot out of Oakland. And then they went to an ALCS.
But you also know the old adage that they always say is the teams that get burned the most are the ones that think that they can flip the switch whenever they want and they can do it. Last year was a crazy year. It was a shortened season. It was a bad regular season in which they were just trying to iron out the kinks and see what they actually had, and they barely got in. Once they got in, absolutely a different story. You're right. And they went on a Cinderella ride, and they took it as far as they possibly could. But they can't keep doing that and expect to have those kind of results.
It's a long season. You're going to have ups and downs, right? They went through a week and a half where they had to play with half a lineup, and they lost 9 out of 10. 5 of those were to bad teams. Detroit in Colorado, right? How many people, oh my God, the Astros, they've lost 9 of 10, they're going to collapse. Well, then they went 12-3 over the next 15 games or whatnot. Every time this team has a little bit of a losing stretch, they then go on a big winning stretch. It's happened all year. They're 20 games over 500.
But waiting for it to happen again is a dangerous scenario, Pat.
No, it's history. This is what
happened.
You're
telling me history is going to dictate what happens down the stretch for this baseball team? I'm telling you, you're full of it.
Every time this team goes on a little bit of a downstroke, they turn around and they get hot. It's been like this now for 6 years. At what point do you accept this is what baseball is? This is what good teams are. Good teams have 4 runs where they go 16-3 or 12-2.
I don't know how much time
you got. And they play 500 ball the rest of the year.
You can say last 6 years. I don't care how much time you have.
The only team that doesn't do that, all right, is the 98 Yankees, because they had 6 streaks like that.
I'm telling you right now, you can say till you're blue in the face and get all worked up about the last 6 years. Guess what? This year, unlike the last 6 years, there's no Garrett Cole coming through that door. I hate to break it to you people, but there's no Justin Verlander coming to the rescue. There's no Zach Greinke traded for that's going to save the day.
There wasn't for the first 4 months of the season either.
You're talking about the late runs and the absolute way that they brought it together when they had to down the stretch. You're relying on starting pitching that's never had to have the pressure that they're going to face, not only because their personal performance hasn't been where you thought it would be, but because they aren't the experienced starting pitchers and starting players that you've had in the past that have done the things that you've said and carried them to the finish line.
Well, was that not the situation last year? There was no Justin Verlander. There was no Garrett Cole. You had Zach Greinke, and then you had Framber Valdez and Jose Urquidy and guys that you had to ask for the first time to ascend the front of the rotation.
There was still George Springer.
And they
there
did.
Was still an offense. There was still Correa
got hot.
They're
still an offense now. They're the best offense in baseball. They score the most runs. I understand why you're like all the things that you're pointing out of, look, this is troublesome. This is troublesome. And I'm not trying to say they aren't. What I'm saying is there's a lot of time to get it straightened out. They're 20 games over. They're still in first place. Their track record says they'll get it right. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I'm hoping that it's a good thing that they have the third easiest schedule the rest of the way.
Well, that means they're 20 over against the tough teams.
That also means these next two games start a run that they better get on if they want to live up to your expectations. And I hope the hell they do. That's all I'm saying. I'm more concerned than you are. First hour in the books, 2 hours still to go. Lots of good discussion in that hour, and nothing that says there's not going to be more of the same coming up next. So let's get hour number two kicked off in just mere minutes right here on the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5.